Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And aren't you thankful for God's grace this morning and that it is greater than all our sin? And I can say for certain in my life, and I know from some of you as well, and knowing your testimonies, that there was a time when sin abounded, and really in all of our lives sin abounded beyond what we could do about it. Our sin was beyond our control and beyond our ability to remedy or to fix it. But where our sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'm thankful for that marvelous, infinite, matchless grace this morning that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I look across the congregation today and I see a lot of different people. We have people ranging in age from very, very young all the way on up to, I won't call anyone very, very old, but maybe very, very wise. We'll put it that way. We've got people from just about every age demographic. We've got males and females, and we've got Americans, and we've got folks from other countries. We've got white folks. We've got black folks. We've got some from Asia and other parts of the world, and we've got people from different backgrounds. We've got, I'm sure, represented among us today some of the wealthier people. We have people that are more on the poor end of the spectrum. We've got a lot of different people here today, but we all have something in common. And what we all have in common is that no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, there is coming a day when this life will be over and we will die. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You have an appointment today, as do I, and we don't know when that appointment is, but there is an appointed day where we will leave this life and where we will stand before God and give account for our life and stand in judgment. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're 9 years old or 90 years old. That day could come any day, and every one of us one day will stand before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse number 11. The Bible says here, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of building with the right materials. Building with the right materials. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for allowing us to be in your house. Lord, I don't take for granted the privilege that it is to stand before your people and to open your word and to share your word and to preach the truth. Lord, I pray that you would guide me today. Help me to be totally surrendered and submitted to you as much as I possibly can as a sinful human being. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would have complete control over everything that is said here today. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us here to have open hearts and minds to receive the truth of your word. May we not approach this today as just an exercise in religion or some kind of a ritual or just something that we do when we're in church. But Lord, may we understand that we are on holy ground today as your word is open and as your spirit speaks. Lord, I pray that you would give us the humility, Lord, to examine our lives in light of your word and by the leading of your Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't be deceived by our own hearts, but Lord, that we would be open to your truth. And then, Lord, that we would be obedient to it and humble enough to follow you and to trust you. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning outside of Christ. They've never been born again. Maybe they've been in church for a long time. Maybe today's their first day ever to darken the doors of a church. Lord, the bottom line is they need Christ. And Lord, I pray that today through the preaching of your word that you would show them their need for salvation, their need for a Savior, and that Christ is the only way of salvation, that they turn to you and be saved today. Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Most of us are probably familiar with the fairy tale, the old fairy tale of the three little pigs and the different houses that were built and the big bad wolf that came along to blow on them, to huff and puff and to try and blow those houses down. We remember that the house that was made of wood of straw rather collapsed quickly, and the house that was made of sticks collapsed quickly, but it was the house that was made of bricks that remained. Jesus spoke in the book of Matthew in chapter 7 of two different builders who built a house, apparently of the same material, but on a different foundation, one on a foundation of rock and one on a foundation of sand. And when the winds came and when the floods came and when the rains came, they beat upon that house and those houses, and the one on sand fell and the one on stone stood. And the comparison that he made was that he who builds on sand is the one who hears the word of God and does not do it and is not obedient to it, whereas he that builds on that solid foundation of rock is he that hears the word of God and obeys it and does it. We're commanded to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So the Bible actually has some things to say about buildings and materials, either in relation to foundation or the building itself and what it is made of. When we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we find a teaching, a passage that is dealing with what we would know to be the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's important that we understand something. I quoted to you a moment ago, Hebrews 9:27, that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us will one day stand in judgment before God. But the Bible actually speaks of two separate judgments, two different judgments. You will stand at one of those judgments. There is, first of all, what we're reading in our passage of Scripture here that is known as the judgment seat of Christ. This is a judgment for those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have been what the Bible calls born again. There was a time in their life when they understood that they were a sinner, unable to save themselves, and in simple faith and repentance, they turned to Christ and trusted Him alone for their salvation, were born again, and they are saved. They are on their way to heaven. And this judgment that we're talking about, the judgment seat of Christ, is really not a judgment to determine their eternity, heaven or hell. Rather, this is a judgment to determine reward. And it's a judgment that is based on works, what we do with our lives after salvation. There's another judgment that the Bible speaks of, however, over in Revelation 22, and is what we know as the Great White Throne Judgment. And that is a judgment that is not for the saved, it is not for those who have been born again, rather it is for those who die without Christ, having never been saved. The Bible says there is coming a day when the dead, small and great, will stand before that great white throne, and they will be judged not based upon their works, but on one criteria, whether or not their name is found written in the book of life. And the Bible says whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so there are two different judgments that we're talking about this morning, and primarily we are going to focus on this judgment spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want you to notice some things about this. Remember, this is a judgment that deals with our works and the things that we do in our lives. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, if you'll hold your place here and go forward just a few pages to the book of 2 Corinthians, and chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading here in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved." Let me stop there and explain that for just a moment. When the Bible speaks of this earthly house or this tabernacle, it's talking about this body that we live in. We could accurately say that you have a body, but you are a soul, and you, the real you, simply lives inside of your body as long as you are alive here on this earth. And he says, "We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." So what he's saying here is, those of us who are saved have an honest desire for this life to be over and to go to heaven. Now, it is not that we are just looking to die or that we are excited about that concept of being unclothed or leaving this body, but rather we are looking forward to the day when we leave this life and we enter eternity with the Lord and we are in heaven with Him. We are groaning. There's a desire and there's a longing there. By the way, you ought to ask yourself, if you're truly a child of God, do you desire to go to heaven? Are you ready for that day? Or are you so attached to this life that you're really not groaning within yourself to be with the Lord someday? And so he's talking about this, and he goes on, and he says in verse number 10, he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now again, he's referring to saved people. He says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So he's talking about this judgment. And as we read 1 Corinthians 3, where we just were a moment ago, we're going to find a couple of things about this judgment. First of all, we see that there is a fiery trial. There's a fiery trial. Notice in verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians 5, Paul here says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Now you might say to me here, "Well, don't you know, Pastor, that when someone is saved, that they won't be judged for their sin because Jesus was judged for their sin, and so they're not going to be judged for their sin. They're simply going to be judged for their works," and that is true. And yet I want you to know that there is a certain amount of soberness, or even we could say a fearfulness that ought to be there within us to recognize that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I want you to know that this concept that, you know, the Christian life is all about love and there's no fear involved is actually not biblical. We understand that perfect love casteth out fear, but friend, let us also remember that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And there is something to be said for a little bit of trepidation or a question in our mind as we recognize that one day we will stand in judgment before Jesus Christ and give account, the Bible says, for every idle word that we have spoken. We will stand before our Heavenly Father and He will look in our eyes and see and know everything that has been done in this life. You say, "Well, that doesn't scare me." Really? Really. You say, "Well, I'm not afraid of God." I don't want you to be afraid of God, but I do want you to fear God. You see, when I was a kid growing up, I had a good relationship with my dad. I wanted to be just like my dad. We were close. My dad was one of my best friends, if not my best friend. Loved my dad. Still a very good friend. We're still very close today. Sometimes my dad would leave for work in the morning. He'd come into my room and he'd wake me up before he'd leave for work and he'd say something like this, "I want you to mow the lawn today." Well, as much as I love my dad, I feared him enough to know that when Dad came home, I better have that lawn mowed. There was a certain fearfulness at times when I knew that I had done something wrong. My mom would say to me sometimes, how many of you have ever heard this phrase, "Wait till your father comes home"? Yeah, been there. And as much as I love my dad and love to see him come home from work and I love to hear the sound of his truck pulling in the driveway, there was always a question that came to my mind when he pulled in. I hope that there's nothing that I'm going to get in trouble for. You see, there's a difference between being afraid. I was never afraid of my dad, but I did fear my dad. There was a reverence there that recognized that the relationship would be strained and that things wouldn't always be pleasant if I hadn't been that day what I ought to be. And Christian friend, I want you to know if you've been born again, you are eternally secure. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you're saved today, you don't ever have to fear condemnation in hell. But friend, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing the fearfulness of our God, let us be sober as we consider this concept that one day we will stand before Him and give account. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It shall be revealed by fire. Now, he says in verse number 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. We've got six different types of building material here. He says, if you were to build upon this foundation, speaking of your life and the way you live your life and the things that you do, whether good or bad, you build on this foundation either with gold and silver and precious stones or with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, quite honestly, most of us in here probably will have some of both. We'll use, as we build in our lives, some gold, silver, and precious stones, as well as some wood, hay, and stubble, because gold, silver, and precious stones are things which endure the fire. We could say that they are eternal. They are things that will last. The wood, hay, and stubble, it's not necessarily sin. Rather, it's just things that are temporal. I had a conversation with my oldest son this morning as we were driving into church about the things of this world being temporal. We talked about money and making money and managing money and all those things. And I talked about this very passage of Scripture, and he said to me, Dad, you know something? He goes, it doesn't matter if you're rich or if you're poor, if you've got a lot of money or if you've got no money, because when you die, you can't take it with you. How true is that? You know, so many people live their lives working for and striving for things that will never last. Working to build up that retirement, working to to make something of yourself, working to have all of the material possessions that you want, working to for entertainment and enjoyment and leisure, whatever the case might be. And one day, and that day when you die, and by the way, you don't know when it is, all of that goes away. Now, I want you to know there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. They just won't last forever. There's an old saying that said, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. And then I had someone send me a picture text of a hearse that had a U-Haul trailer behind it. And I thought, well, there goes that illustration, you know. I guess I have seen one. But the bottom line is there are people that they, you know, man, when I die, bury me with this. No, you got to understand something. You cannot take it with you. When you leave this life and enter into eternity and you stand before God, he describes this fire, this foundation's been laid and we've built thereupon. That building represents our lives. And everything that we have done will be tried through the fire. Now when the fire is through, only that which is gold and silver and precious stone will remain, because all wood and hay and stubble burns up. Those things which are temporal, those things which we did simply for this life and to get by, will not last eternally. There is a fiery trial. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 that on that appointed day, God will judge the secrets of men. Isn't it interesting that we often look at one another and we might look at someone and say, look at what they do and look at how their life is counting for eternity and how much reward must they have, and yet God himself said, don't judge based on the outward appearance, because God's going to look at the heart. And everything that we do falls into this category. It is either gold, silver, and precious stone, or it is wood, hay, and stubble. And there is coming a day when it will be put through the fire. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You say, was Paul afraid that he was going to die and go to hell? No, not at all. In fact, he talks about how he would rather die and leave this life and go to heaven. He's talking about this groaning that he has. But the terror of the Lord is recognizing that one day when that fire comes, much more of that building could be consumed than we want to see burn. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see my life's work all consumed in a fire because everything was temporal and nothing eternal. There's a fiery trial, and then he speaks of a final tally, because he says in verse number 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. He says, for those who still have remaining building materials after the fire, there will be a reward. Those things which were eternal, those things which lasted, will be exchanged for eternal reward. Paul talked about those things in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're close by. Let's go ahead and read this. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 25, it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Do you realize that the reward that God will give in heaven to those who live their lives for eternity is absolutely incorruptible? It'll never go away. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. Why? Because the reward in heaven is eternal. It lasts forever. And so in contrast to the things of this life, which are temporal, which are but for a moment, we can live this life for a corruptible crown, or we can live this life for an incorruptible crown, reward in heaven that will never vanish. So he says, if any man's work abide, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. I don't know about you, friend, but that's a sobering thought to me as I consider the possibility of standing before Christ and suffering loss. Not because I'm any less saved, not because I don't get to be in the good part of heaven, nothing like that. Simply because God gave me one life. And He gave me a life to be used for His glory. And if the fire that tries my works consumes everything of my life was useless for God. What a feeling of loss that would be. When the Great Depression hit, our economy crashed, there were many people who had worked a lifetime to save and to invest and to make all kinds of money, and overnight, it was gone. Many of those people took their own lives because they felt that their life's work was worthless. They felt loss. Everything they worked for, everything they strive for, was gone. And friend, I'm going to ask you, what are you living for? If you're simply living for the things of this life, for the things of this world, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, and that's kind of your mentality and your life's goal, let me tell you, friend, there's coming a day you're going to feel some loss. Because the life that you had to live for eternity and for the glory of God was meaningless. Notice at the end of the verse it does say, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It's not that this man who suffers loss, who has lived for the things of this world, who's built on this foundation, wood, hay, and stubble, it's not that he's not saved. It's not that he loses his salvation. It's simply that the fire has consumed everything that he built. There is a final tally. And then I want you to notice there is also a foundational truth. And this is stated here in actually verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 3. Because he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, in order to even be standing in judgment before the Lord, potentially receiving reward at the judgment seat of Christ, you must first have Christ, you must first have a foundation. Before you can begin to build, there must be a foundation. And the Bible says that the only foundation which can be laid is Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ. Can I tell you, friend, that there are a lot of people who are living their lives trying to build a nice building with the right materials, but they have the wrong foundation. There's a lot of people who are going through life and they're trying to do things that have eternal value, and they're trying to serve God and they're trying to do what is right and they're trying to obey the Word of God, but they don't even have the foundation. Matthew chapter 7, if you'd go there with me, Jesus addresses this group of people. Matthew 7, beginning in verse number 21, Jesus says here, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus is saying there are going to be people who stand before him in judgment, and they present him. You know what they're going to present him? Gold and silver and precious stone. But it wasn't built on the right foundation. They're saying, "Lord, look at what we have to present to you." And he'll say, "I never knew you. You never had the foundation." See, it doesn't matter how strong the building materials are if the foundation isn't right. And friend, let me tell you today, it doesn't matter how good of a life you live if you don't have Christ. It doesn't matter if you're the best person here, the most giving person. It doesn't matter how kind and generous you are. It doesn't matter how much you even serve God. If you don't have Christ in your life, if you've never been saved, you don't even have the foundation. And so in Revelation 22, what I referenced here just a moment ago, and if you can go there with me, I'd encourage you to do that. Or rather, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11, the Bible says here, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You see, these people who are cast into the lake of fire had no foundation. Their name wasn't found written in the book of life. They had never been born again. They tried to build with the right materials, but they missed the foundation. Friend, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you build with. If you don't have Christ, if you missed Christ, you've missed everything. And when you stand in judgment before God, it's not going to matter how good you were. It's not going to matter whether you had even an eternal focus, because he's going to say, "I never knew you." Does Christ know you today? If he were to open the books and the book of life was opened and he alphabetically went down and found your name, would your name be written there? Do you have the foundation? You say, "Oh yeah, I have the foundation. I can give testimony to a time in my life where I realized I was a sinner, unable to save myself. The gospel was presented to me that Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that he died and paid the penalty for my sin, that he rose again and conquered death, and now he offers to me eternal life, and I believed on him and trusted him and called upon the name of the Lord and was saved. I've had that time." If so, what kind of building materials are you using? What's your life about? What are you living life for? "I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven." Praise the Lord. Do you remember that you must stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ready to give an account of your life? Are you ready for that fire to try your works and determine? Did you notice those words in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 13? "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire." The words that stand out to me in that: made manifest, declare, and revealed. You see, every one of us has an idea of how we think we're doing. But there's going to come a day when all opinions are stripped away and only what God sees is going to be known. It's going to be revealed. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for your secrets to be made manifest? Will you receive a reward? Or will the things that you're living for today mean nothing in eternity? Friend, we don't know how long we have. There's not one of us here that's guaranteed tomorrow. What kind of a building have you built? What have you built on that foundation that's lasting and eternal, that's incorruptible, that fades not away?